Let us begin with a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, Father, for allowing us, Father, to be a part of your family. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we can read it, understand it, and most importantly, put it into practice in our lives. We thank you, Father, that we live in a country where we can serve you and worship you without fear. Father, I pray you be with us this morning as we look into your word. Transform us so that we can continue to be the disciples you've called us to be. We love you, Father. We ask and we pray all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. 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 It is great to be a Christian. It really is. But I'm concerned about some of you guys because Mike was talking this morning. I was asking how many of you have gone skydiving. And I was sitting back there. A bunch of you raised your hands. I've always believed, and I still believe, that man was not meant to fly. If God wanted us to fly, guess what? You and I would have wings. When you go jump out of an airplane, I'm sorry, man, you are on your own. I don't understand that. You couldn't pay me to jump out of an airplane. I'm sorry. Parachute or no parachute. The day I tried is the day the parachute decides not to open. Then he goes, how did he die? Oh, yeah, he went and jumped out of an airplane. I'm not going out like that. Uh-uh. A couple of weeks ago, I was dropping my daughter off at school. And we got to Five Forks. And most mornings, he's backed up with people, you know, trying to get to 78. And lights were flashing. And we had to turn around because we couldn't get to Cole Drive, which is where her school is. After school, she told me that a sophomore in her school had been knocked down. That was what caused the accident that morning. And immediately she told me, I knew exactly who she was talking about. Because when this semester started, I believe it was sometime in January, or maybe February, there was a certain morning I was dropping her off, and this kid came out of nowhere and just crossed right in front of me. And I remember going, what in the world? Same kid. And unfortunately, he was knocked down, rushed to the hospital, and then he passed away. We need to be praying for his family. His name was Jonathan Porter. And I say that to say, brothers and sisters, this life is very short. I don't know when my time is going to come. You don't know when your time is going to come. And we really need to be listening to our Heavenly Father. Because God is the one who created us. God is the one who put us on this earth. And God is the one who is going to determine when we live. My heart goes out to his parents. I remember thinking, wow. I can't even begin to imagine the person that hit the kid, how they're feeling right now. Now, praise God, they're not being charged with vehicular homicide because he crossed right in between traffic. He did exactly to me what he did that morning. There is a crosswalk at the end that, you know, people are meant to cross over. But that's not what he did. And I'm almost certain that his parents taught him to always cross the road on the crosswalk. And I know that a lot of times, even as Christians, you and I do not listen to what our Heavenly Father is telling us. The Bible reminds us that we got to become like little children for you and I to enter the kingdom of God. You and I need to continue to be humble and listening to our God because he wants what's best for us. And so I've titled my lesson this morning, God Knows Best. God loves you and I so much that he brought about our salvation through the blood of his own son, Jesus. And not only that, he's now given us his word to sustain us and to direct us as we navigate through this life. And I don't know about you, life is hard. It really is. But I'm very thankful that we have the word of God that directs us, that teaches us, that sustains us, and shows us the way to live. But you and I have a choice. And a lot of times, we decide not to really do what this is saying. You know, our theme this year, just to remind us again, is because the Bible tells me so. I've been a disciple now almost 28 years. And people sometimes ask me, if you had the opportunity to go back and change anything, what would you do? The one thing I would have done is to have surrendered my life to this a lot earlier in life. Because I did some foolish stuff. I made some horrible mistakes. And I'm standing here today, again, simply by the grace of God. But I remember making a decision over 28 years ago that the Bible was going to be the standard by which I lived. That I was going to, if the Bible says it, I was going to do it. That I was going to obey what God says. And that I was going to imitate and listen to people that God has put in my life. Why? Because God knows best. And I pray that as we go through these verses this morning, that you will take a look at yourself and you will really examine yourself. Because one day, I promise you, you will not be here. People will gather like this. And if you're fortunate, you will be in a box up front. And people will talk about you and how much they're going to miss you. And life is going to go on the next day. I promise you that. And the question is, though, when we leave this place, where are we going? Are we going to pass this final exam called judgment based on what the Bible teaches? Or are we men and women that are just going through life based on how we feel or what we think is right or based on popular culture? And so that's what I want us to do this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning verse 1. It says, here's God talking to his children back then, the children of Israel. He says, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Not sometimes. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. His majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to the whole country. While he did what he did to the Egyptian army, to the horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things that the Lord had done. Verse 9, it says, observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. In verse 13. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in the season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Verse 16, be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Verse 18, Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Verse 19, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Verse 22, if you carefully observe all these things, commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways and to hold fast to him. Verse 23, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. Verse 26, it says, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way what I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. And we'll stop there for now. This is a very sobering passage. You see, all these things were written down, the Bible teaches, that for us, so that we don't make the same mistake that they made. We're learning from their history and the mistakes that they made. You know the story. God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, did all kinds of wonders. They didn't believe they could inherit the promised land. And so they put fear in all the people. God says, forget you guys. And they all died out. It took 40 years. It was their kids who grew up. And this is them about to enter the promised land, about to cross the Jordan River. And God is telling them, listen, obey all my commands. I've given you these decrees and all these requirements for a reason. The laws are not meant to be burdensome. They're meant for our own good. The Bible is not about God trying to steal your fun. The Bible is about God trying to get your attention. Saying, you know what? I know what's going to happen to you next week. I know what's going to happen to your life 6 months from now. I can see your life 10 years from now. Listen to me. Do it my way. But many of us are so proud, we're so arrogant, we think we know better than God. You are going to pay a heavy price. And you are paying a heavy price, even as we speak. If you want to really be honest with yourself. You see, God is very clear here. In verse 13, he says, if you faithfully obey my commands. Verse 16, says, be careful or you will be enticed or turned away. In verse 18, he says, fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds. In verse 19, he tells us to teach them to our children. When you are driving in the car, what are you doing? Are you listening to the radio or are you talking to your kids about God? Come on, church. Is it a sin to listen to the radio? No. But if that's all you're doing, you're missing out. We got to be talking to our kids about this God that we know. And that this God that is directing us and is sustaining us. How are they going to fall in love with this God when they don't see the effect of it in your life? It's not rocket science. It never was. But look at the promises God made to them. Beginning verse 22, he says, I will drive out all the nations before you. He says, every place you set your foot, I will give to you. He says, no man will be able to stand against you. And then he concludes by saying, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. You see, you and I choose. When we choose to obey God, it's a blessing. When you choose to live your life and not follow the Bible, it is going to be a curse. You can take that one to the bank. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I promise you, you will see it. And you will experience it. You will pay a price. You see, the issue is us. What are we going to do? Who are we going to follow? You know, it was very interesting. I believe it was last Sunday when Jennifer was being baptized and people were sharing about her, and then when she started to share, She said, you know what? These are her words. I used to practice a la carte Christianity. What is a la carte Christianity? Okay, I like this verse over here, so I give me a little bit of that. This passage over here, don't even go there. I'm just going to ignore that. I don't want any of that. Or this passage over here, I like this one. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of us, that's what we do. Every single day. Even those of us that claim to be Christians, we're practicing a la carte Christianity. This I'm going to follow. This one, nobody talks to me about this. You are going to pay a price. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but you will pay a price. Because like Mike started to talk to us men on Thursday night, God will not be mocked. He doesn't say we follow some of the commandments. He says all of them. All of them. But you see, the question is, what is really the issue? Why do we obey some verses and not obey some? Why aren't we obeying all the Bible? You know what the issue is? Trust. That's really what it comes down to. You don't trust God. That's it. When God says, raise your kids this way, do you trust them? When God says, this is how you handle your money, actually, it's not your money, the money I have blessed you with, do you trust them? Or are you going to do your own thing? The issue is, we don't really trust God. That's the issue. Because if you trusted God, you would listen to what he's telling you. And again, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. I mean, look at the mess that you and I have done with our lives already. I mean, look at the mess we've made already. Don't you think it pays to listen to the person that created you and put you on this earth in the first place? Or you think you created yourself? Oh, no, you didn't. God gave you and I kids. Don't you think it's wise to listen to him in terms of how to raise these kids? Where are you getting your advice from? From Dr. Phil? Seriously. Seriously. Whose precepts are you following? In your marriage. I've had some of us say, well, you know, I didn't really have any role models growing up. As if that's an excuse. You got role models in this church? Who are you imitating? Where are you learning this stuff? You're going to do what you saw your parents doing? Are you kidding me? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure your father was a very nice guy and your mom was a very nice person. It's got nothing to do with niceness. It's got to do with obeying the scriptures. I wasn't raised by a man and a woman that were always obeying the scriptures. I wasn't. If I told you that, I'd be lying. Did they believe in God? Yes. Did they go to church? Absolutely. But they were not disciples of Jesus. They were not. I shared this many years ago, and I'll share it again. My mother would be at home tired. You know, in Africa, you don't call somebody up and say, well, I'm coming. First of all, we don't have phones. And so you just show up. That's just the African way. And so when my mother would hear somebody coming up the stairs, she'll go into the room, lock the door, tell them I'm not home. And so that's what we'll do. They come in. Where's your mom? Oh, she's not home. One day, my younger brother, somebody came in. And I think it was myself or my sister. Somebody said, oh, she's not home. My brother said, no, she's home. Come see. She's inside the room. As a matter of fact, she told us to tell you that she was not here. Obviously, she had to come out of the room. She was totally embarrassed. But people laughed it off because that's what everybody does. But I shared to say, she was not a saint. And neither were your parents. Because again, I hear some of us saying, you know what, here's what I saw my mom and dad doing. Are you kidding me? You and I are meant to do this and live this life based on what the scripture teaches. Amen? Amen. That when people do you wrong, the Bible says you forgive them. It doesn't say if they repent. It says you forgive them. If not, God will not forgive you. Amen? Amen. The Bible is not complicated. It wasn't designed to be. We can't choose to believe and follow several verses and ignore all the glaring ones. You see, the question is, what good is it what good is the Bible if you're going to choose to ignore it? You know, one of the most awesome promises that I love in the New Testament is on the Sermon on the Mount, is Matthew 6, verse 33. When God says, you know what, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat and all these different things, but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things I will give to you as well. Oh, I love that passage. It's so awesome. God says, put me first and I will take care of everything else. The question is, do you believe that verse or not? That's the issue. Am I going to believe that verse or not? God says, you seek me first and I will take care of everything else. I remember a little over a decade ago when the bottom fell out, when we lost our minds as a brotherhood. You know, so my wife and I, we looked at each other and said, you know what? What we came to do in Africa, we've done it. And that is to plant churches, to raise people up, and, you know, praise God, it's going on. People are doing it, you know. It's time to move back to the U.S. and go practice law. That was what I was saying to myself. The bottom fell out. What did we do? Like we always do. We prayed. We studied out in the scriptures. We fasted. And we're seeking advice. Not just from anybody, from people that we knew would tell us exactly what we needed to hear, not what we wanted to hear. And I got to be honest with you. I was going to get out of ministry. I was done. I was like, okay. I've done 15 years of this stuff, man. It's good. Now I can go practice law, make some money, and send these kids to school. That was what I was thinking. And we started seeking input. And it's amazing. Every single person we spoke to told us not to get out of the ministry. Even non-Christians that we knew, people that considered me, quote-unquote, their pastor. When non-Christians start telling you not to get out of the ministry, you know God is trying to tell you something. Not one person told us, yeah, you've done your best, get out. And so somebody brought up the fact that, you know, this church was looking for a minister. I got to be honest with you, I didn't even know where this place was. They said Lilburn. I said, Lil what? I had to go look it up on a map. I had no idea where this place was. And in a few days, my wife and I and my family would have been here 10 years. And it has been a tremendous 10 years. Yes, we've had our ups, we've had our downs. But we're still here. We're still plugging on. Why? Because God says, you know what? I still need you here. That is the way we make decisions. Has it been easy? No. As a matter of fact, you know this verse in Hebrews 13, you can write it down. Hebrews 13, verse 17. I know we don't like to talk about it, but I am going to talk about it. The Bible says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who will give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you. The Bible commands you to obey me and to obey the elders. Where did I get the authority from? Where did the elders get the authority from? From God. From the scriptures. You really want to know what makes me cry at night? When I see men and women
doing their own thing, refusing to follow the Bible, refusing to imitate, refusing to seek spiritual advice, and they're just doing their own thing, and I can see the train wreck coming. That's what breaks my heart. That's what makes me cry. I gotta be honest with you. That's what does it for me. It's heartbreaking. And I'm not saying you listen to me because I'm the preacher. You need to listen to me because all I'm doing is following Christ, and I'm calling us, for you and everybody else, to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I never will be. Again, I've said this one, I'll say it again. If you are looking for a perfect teacher, you missed your opportunity 2,000 years ago. Okay? This is all you got. And I'm not Jesus. I never claim to be. But I will, as long as it depends on me, every single day, by the power of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of me, I will continue to follow God every single day. And I'm calling us to do the same thing. But some of us were like, that's just Richard talking. Oh, yeah, that's what we pay him to say. Excuse me? You got to be kidding me. I was saying this stuff before I got paid. It's about calling men and women to follow God, to follow the scriptures. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Whoa, look at the time. I said Philippians, right? Philippians chapter 4. Listen to the Apostle Paul here. In Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Verse 9, Paul writes, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Imitation is in the Bible. Where did I learn how to preach? By imitating the person who was training me. I still remember vividly making a decision that I was going to imitate the marriage of Mike and Ambergie Tolliver. Because prior to that point, every week when we got together, Moa was always messing up. Always. And I finally figured it out. I said, you know what? All I got to do is imitate the person God has put in front of me. He and his wife were always hugging each other, and I always thought, that's so cock. I'm an African man. We don't show our affections in public. I even said it. And he looked at me one day and said, "Bro, you better love your wife. You better be affectionate." Like, that's just you Americans. I said it out of this mouth. I didn't know Jack. But I remember humbling myself, deciding to imitate. And do I have it all figured out? No. But every single day, I keep imitating godly marriages that I see in front of me. The same thing with my kids. Where did I learn how to raise kids? It's by watching other Christians, how they were raising their kids. I'm praying about it and sitting them down and say, "Bro, teach me. How do you do this? Man, she brought this up. How do I respond? She said this. How should I react?" I've never done those things before. There's no shame in asking. A disciple is a learner. Some of us, we've stopped learning. And therein lies the problem. You think you figure it out and you don't know Jack. You don't. Now, if you humble yourself and learn, you're going to know some stuff. Are you listening to me? But a lot of us, we don't know anything. And I forget, it was several months ago. We're having this happening time with Stephen and Roxanne Little. They lead our campus ministry. And they came in this day, and they were so happy. Say, hey, guess what? We'd like to have a child. We're thinking of having a child. I said, good. I said, do you have any idea what that entails? I said, first of all, once they come, you can't send them back. And, you know, we talked, and they were very humble. And my wife and I told them point blank, in terms of where they were in their life, I said, you know what? You shouldn't bring a child into this equation. We wouldn't do it if we were you. Not at this time. And they listened. I said, as a matter of fact, you know what? You need to go spend time with some of these families that have little kids to get an idea of what that feels like. And so on his own, I kid you not, on his own, they called up the Perry and Andrea, and they spent an entire day with their kids and them. And I remember the following week, he came in and goes, bro. I smiled. I said, yeah, you want to have a child, huh? He goes. I don't know how to do it. I said, now you get a little glimpse. I said, there's a big difference between when you see somebody's kid at church and you say hello and you hand it back to them and then you take him home. And they keep you up at night. There's a big difference. But they listened. So much so that I think it was just a few weeks ago, the Parks wanted to have some time to themselves, and they sent their twins to go spend, I think, 2 or 3 days with them. It was good practice for them. They're expecting their own kid in a few months. But it's good to listen and to check things out. Don't just jump into things. Kids are wonderful, but they're not wonderful 24 hours of the day, I can promise you that. Those kids will drive you crazy sometimes. You know, one minute they're small and young and innocent. And, oh, look at that face. And the next minute you're like, go into your room. And I share all that to say, it's not easy. But you got to be seeking input. You got a lot of examples in front of you. You're raising teenagers? There are people that have raised teenagers in here and have done it successfully. How many times do you call them? And you're constantly seeking input. God knows best. God not only has given us his word, but he's provided people that you and I can imitate and learn from so that we don't make the same mistakes. Amen? And one of the things that we have to teach our kids was respect for adults and for authority. No kid just learns that naturally. I remember when our first child was very little, and you know how when they get to that point where they're not sleeping? And, okay, you just got to put them down, say a prayer, and put them down in their crib, and just turn the lights off and leave. Oh, she's going to scream. She's going to cry. Yeah. And I remember Dr. Mark Ottenwell looking at me and says, it's just tears. That's all it is. I said, that's all it is? He said, thank you. And so what did we do? We put the kid down that night. She was wailing and screaming for about an hour. We didn't go back into the room. And then she fell asleep. Guess what? The following night, we put her down. We kissed her goodnight. We said goodnight. We said a prayer. And we turned the lights off. Guess what? She went straight to sleep. Because she knew that mom and dad were not going to come back. Some of you guys, you got little kids, you know, you put them down, they're screaming, and you go back in there, like, stop going back into the room. But they're crying. Let them cry. You know, I'm talking, you know the kind of cry I'm talking about? where they're going. They're going to be okay. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I remember that first night. Said I wanted to go back. I said, don't you dare. Oh, I got to leave. I said, then get out of the house. Just go. And I believe that's what she did. She stepped out. Because she couldn't take it. But once she learned that thing, man, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You're not going to find that in the Bible in terms of, okay, here's what you do. But there are Christians that have gone through that. And you're wise if you would listen. Oh, I'm tired. I didn't get any sleep. Well, you better put that kid down. We have a saying in my culture. A child that says his mother is not going to sleep, that child would not see any drop of sleep himself. It wasn't meant to be this difficult. If we would simply listen to people that have gone before us and have done these things very well. Amen? Look in Psalm 19. This is where I'm going to end up. In verse 8 or verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Another version says, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Verse 11. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Oh, I love that passage. It says, God's word is perfect, converting the soul. It's trustworthy, making you wise. It is right, giving joy to your heart. The precepts of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. They are sure and right, more precious than gold, sweeter than honey. He says, in keeping them, you and I are warned there is great reward. I don't know about you, I love rewards. He says, there is great reward in following God's word. Amen? You can write this passage down, Psalm 18, verse 30. It says, the word of God is flawless. It is a shield for those who take refuge in Him. You and I can't make decisions based on our feelings. Sometimes I even hear Christians go, yeah, but I prayed about this. So what? That doesn't mean anything to me. Well, I prayed about this. So? I prayed that God would give me, what's that guy's name? Warren Buffett's $1 billion through my bracket. God says no. I'm sure a lot of people prayed that prayer. I prayed it. God says no. So the fact that I prayed about something doesn't mean anything. The question is, what kind of response is God going to give to me? You can't go by what you feel. You can't go by, well, I prayed about this. So what? The question is, are you obeying the scriptures? Oh, but I sought advice. Who from? Advice is only as good as where you're getting it. You know, again, as Christians, we think we're playing games with God. Who gave you that advice? Oh, a Christian. Oh, really? What does that person know about that subject? What evidence have you seen in their life based on that subject? You don't go learn how to fix a computer from a plumber. I'm sorry. And I'll say it in here. Some of you guys don't like to come to me or the elders to seek advice because you know we are going to tell you exactly what you need to hear. Not what you want to hear. You forget that one day we are going to stand before God one day and give an account. And let me tell you something. I'll say it in here from the pulpit. It's being recorded. Nobody's blood is going to be on my hands. No one. I want to be able to say what Paul said. I am innocent of the blood of all men. Because I will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. If you want to hear something else, you need to go place membership in another church. But as for me and my house, we are going to tell you exactly what the Bible is saying. That's the way it's always been. Brothers and sisters, what's at stake is enormous. We're talking about an eternity with the creator of the universe. And I want everybody to be able to stand before God and God look at them and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now come in and enjoy your master's happiness. But it's all about you and I living according to this. Obeying this. Not our feelings, not how we feel, not what somebody else has done, but really just humbling ourselves because we know that God knows best. Amen? Amen. God bless.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be in your kingdom. You truly do appoint time and places for each of us to be. You give us the opportunity through your Spirit to be led to where we ought to serve and what we ought to do. We're grateful that Richard and Sarah listened to the Holy Spirit, that they did not leave the ministry, but they stayed and came here. Father, we pray that you would encourage them today. We pray that they will feel loved. Father, we pray that you would, in the spirit of each one of us, lift us up so that in our arms and our strength be renewed so that we can continue to serve you and do a great work here in Gwinnett. Bless us, Father. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. We are dismissed.